This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Now listen to this. You are listening to AWOL Radio on CKMS The Sound 100.3 FM in Waterloo. We are also podcasting on the Rabble Podcast Network at rabble.ca, and you can find AWOL on the web at peaceculture.org.
From Incarcerated Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal, and you're listening to Waves Through Walls, Prison Radio, on CKMS, 100.3, soundfm.ca, in Waterloo.
And we're going to go into our Daily Gear Close-Up. It's an interview with Alex Hunter, former AWOL radio host, now imprisoned anti-capitalist, anti-colonial anarchist. We've been doing interviews, some prison radio interviews with him. He is today on a solidarity fast with other members of his prison range, in solidarity with Chief Teresa Spence and the grassroots Idle No More movement. Here is that interview. Undertook it yesterday with Alex Hunter from the Penetang prison.
Alex, good to talk to you as always.
Good to talk to you too, Dan.
Yeah, buddy. There's been quite a bit of action going on the outside over the last few weeks in terms of the community startup and some new news on that, and now a national day of action on Idle No More. You've written a couple articles lately. One was we kind of featured it on the CSUMB. The other one was solidarity with Ashkamazdig camp, and now this most recent one you've written up. Would you like to tell us about it?
Well, before we heard the announcement that the Liberal Party was going to be putting back in some of the money to the community startup cut. I mean, granted, they're still cutting a full third of the money, and the impacts are still going to be quite bad. We had planned a one-day hunger strike, recognizing that imprisoned people are arguably a single group of people. If you can consider the prison population a single group of people, they're going to be most directly impacted by those cuts. And so we were going to do a one-day hunger strike. The hunger strike was also going to be in solidarity with the Idle No More movement and in recognition of the fact that not only are imprisoned people targeted by this cut, but so are women and families trying to escape abusive or violent households, as are communities of color and indigenous communities specifically. And since the announcement was made that they're putting some of that funding back, given that none of the guys who were participating, all the guys who were going to participate in the hunger strike are now going to be able to get their funds. And the momentum for an actual strike kind of wasn't there. And it, on the one hand, it's good that they're putting a bunch of the money back. On the other hand, it's terrible that they're cutting a third of it. People getting out of prison who have been in prison or any other institution, hospitals, rehab centers, anything like that, for less than 6 months aren't going to have access to the funding. The funding is entirely the responsibility for the funding is being entirely abdicated by the province, downloaded onto municipalities, which means that in northern Ontario, there's going to be holes in what's being described as a patchwork sort of solution to the problem. There's that. Anyways, some of us have decided that given the timing, which was picked particularly to coincide with the beginning of the second month of Teresa Spence's hunger strike as part of the Idle No More movement, you know, we had picked the date before we knew it was the National Day of Action, actually. And now, given the way things have played out, some of us are still going to be doing a one-day fast in solidarity with her and with the movement in general.
Right on. You want to give us a bit of a breakdown on the difference between a fast and a hunger strike for folks listening?
Well, I mean, in a prison context anyways, the fundamental difference is that a fast doesn't need to be recognized or registered by the oppressive structure of the prison. It's a personal act of reflection, or in this case, solidarity. So when we do, for example, the one-day hunger strike for Prisoner Justice Day, the trays they bring us with their meals, everybody hands them back untouched. And the whole range does that. If we were doing a hunger strike, we would have done something similar. The meals would have been returned to the jail so that they have to register that we're doing this as a form of protest. Tomorrow, those of us who are fasting, we're doing it more as a personal statement, as much to ourselves touched. We're going to be, you know, most of us are probably going to give the food away to other people. Some guys may save it for the next day, things like that. The idea that it's more about personal reflection and solidarity rather than a protest to be registered, I think, is the main point.
Cool. Thanks for that little clarification. I know it will be helpful for folks listening. Where should we go from here?
Where do you want to go? I can't go anywhere. I'm in jail. One of the things that connects the community startup cut to the I Don't Know More movement is that, you know, the austerity agenda in general, forget the fact that the austerity budget, Bill C-45, I believe it is, has a bunch of non-budgetary measures attached to it that are specifically targeting indigenous communities, whether it's amendments to the Indian Act or amendments to environmental protection acts. But that austerity in general, the idea that the state is cutting funding for social programs and social assistance, tends to intrinsically impact indigenous communities more than most others. It disproportionately impacts and targets indigenous communities and indigenous individuals. And the community startup cut is a good example. So that the cut in and of itself disproportionately impacts poor people and people getting out of prison. Indigenous people living in urban areas and non-urban areas as well are disproportionately impoverished, and that is, you know, a legacy of colonialism and residential schools and the destruction of communities and of the land. In the new incarnation, where they've got this so-called transition year before the, Community Homelessness Prevention Initiative is what's going to come in to replace the community startup and maintenance benefit. And that, too, is a patchwork with no specific earmarked funds for community startup, per se, and is drastically decreased funding. But so in that structure, because it depends on municipal structures to give out money, it inherently leaves, as I said earlier, a hole in the patchwork in Northern Ontario. And anything that doesn't cover Northern Ontario as well as it covers Southern Ontario inherently disproportionately targets Indigenous people. And, you know, this is just one example of how anything that is targeted, any of these austerity measures, tend to disproportionately target Indigenous peoples. And I think that's important to recognize. One of the other factors that's really important to recognize is that with these provincial cuts, you know, the province has always traditionally said Indigenous issues, Indigenous people's issues are not our problem. They are a problem of the federal government because of the way the treaties and the Indian Act and the Constitution are written. That, despite the fact that the province receives a massive share of the profits from stolen land and broken treaties.
Right. And of course, they, you know, they're responsible for environmental legislation. They're responsible for some of the things that impact indigenous lands. They just claim they're not responsible for them.
Right. The provinces, for example, are the ones who get the money from the leases of the land to resource extraction corporations. And that's just one example.
Right. Alex, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of writing going on right now from non-natives talking about different ways that they want to support Idle No More. There's writings going on from natives saying, here's different ways you can plug in to Idle No More. Here's how you can support this movement. Do you have any thoughts on this type of solidarity work?
I mean, you have to keep in mind that I am quite disconnected from that dialogue that you're talking about. My only access to written media is the Toronto Star. I have heard some things second and third hand from some people over the phone, but even that's limited. But based on what I am aware of, I would say that the number one thing people can do, the primary initiative to support the movement, is to support and take direction from local grassroots movements. Now, when I say support, I mean in exclusively in non-appropriative ways, not to take the lead, not to be in the spotlight, but to be there in ways as directed by local grassroots indigenous communities. And that support doesn't necessarily mean showing up to rallies, though it does seem like that is one of the things people are being asked to do. But it can be lots of other things, including, you know, financial support for ongoing movements or all kinds of other things. And I also think I should mention that this is something that people or not represents us as settlers has so bastardized any meaningful expression of what's supposed to be a nation-to-nation relationship. Given that we cannot take control of our nation, apparently, there's a failure of responsible settler communities to do that, then we need to find other ways to relate and on a similar principle, given that those principles are, you know, the foundation of the treaties that give us any legitimacy to be here in the first place. And I think that's an important thing to consider on a longer term basis than just supporting the I Don't Know More movement. But I also think the other thing that can be done in support of and in lieu of the I Don't Know More movement is for people to take time to consider and act upon settler community decolonization, recognizing that action and reflection will mean different things for different people in different places within the broader notion of being settlers. And that this is a really good time for people to initiate settler community decolonization projects that take into consideration the history of colonialism and the treaties and the way their communities fit into that ongoing history of, you know, genocidal destructive colonialism and the way our various communities are variously implicated and complicit in, you know, the national ongoing abrogation of treaties and ongoing colonialism.
Right on, yeah, and I mean, it is something that is ongoing. It's something that was before I Don't Know More, and it's something that's beyond it. There's grassroots movements going on right across Turtle Island, right in this area. I mean, in the Grand River watershed, there's various protests taking place. There's a lot ramping up, and there's a lot of different projects to support. So it's not for you know, a lack of choices. It's just, I think it is what you brought up, a lot of that responsibility part of it on the side of settlers.
And I think it's important to remember that no matter where you are, there is some manifestation of a grassroots movement. It may not be a radical protest or direct action movement in certain places, but I think people have a responsibility to the movement in the places that they are, whatever form that may take. And that's an important thing to consider. I mean, also support the movements that you have affinity with on a larger scale, but not instead of local movements. I mean, in addition to supporting and taking direction from local movements.
Is there anything you wanted to share? I know you also released a piece on the Ashkamazda Unity Camp recently, and maybe you could comment on how that fits into how support for that camp or support for that project, or what that could look like.
Yeah. I mean, I've had very little contact with the guys running that camp, Johnny Hawk and Richard Peters, since coming into jail. Not but little. But, you know, their efforts are something that were going on before I Don't Know More. They'll be continuing with it after. Part of the reason I put out a call out to support them is because we're at this prison essentially on the same land that camp's on. They're just across the harbor from us, less than 12 kilometers away.
You have 1 minute left to talk.
And I think the work they do is inherently decolonization work, despite the fact they may not use that word. They're talking about treaty relationships and responsibilities and reviving indigenous communities. And on the settler end of that is supporting their work and taking our own responsibility for the treaty relationship, amongst other things. I think we're out of time, though, so I will talk to you later, Dan, and thanks for putting me on the radio again.
You have 15 seconds left to talk.
All right.
Take it easy, Dan.
Peace, Alex.